The following podcast is a W2M Network original production. Visit W2Mnet.com for all of our other great podcasts, plus news, reviews, articles, and opinions from the worlds of wrestling, video games, football, and entertainment.
Wrestling to the Max, SmackDown Review.
Hello and welcome to the Wrestling to the Max SmackDown Live review for April 11, 2017. And I am your host, Sean Garmer, and I better sound good on this show because we just did a mic check where I sounded fine. So if I suddenly don't sound fine, you suck, Spreaker. yeah, sorry about Monday. This is why you're supposed to be professional and do mic checks for every show. And sometimes when you're doing something at 2 in the morning, you don't think about it. And you forget. So we got taught a nice little lesson there of why you always need to do them. But, graciously, these fine folks of the other Wrestling to the Max family are here of Gary Vaughn and Paul Leisure as well, so I'm not by myself like last week. So should be a much, much better show too. But
yeah,
how are you guys doing?
I'm doing good. Last night's incident reminded me of an Alanis Morissette song, right? You live, you learn, that type of song. So we did that. But I'm doing good right now. I'm excited about talking some SmackDown. I'm sure, Paul, you probably are too.
Yeah, I'm ready.
Oh, boy.
Uh-oh. Now, see, we have to have some technical difficulty somewhere, right?
Yeah.
Believe me.
Let's do this. Let's talk some SmackDown.
Let's do it.
So, of course, the Superstar Shakeup still going on for SmackDown this time. And they wasted a little time in getting things going as Kevin Owens, United States Champion, as I think everybody and their mother, father, brother, dog, and everything else expected that he would be coming to SmackDown to balance out Dean Ambrose going to Raw. And, well, hey, at least they let you know that he's there. And the cool thing is that Kevin Owens came out with a suit. He was all clean shaven. And he was even talking slower than normal. He was all about giving you a different vibe for himself, which I'm all about. I love the fact that he made it a big deal to try to change himself a bit, be a bit more proper on SmackDown, but he's still coming to rule the world. And so he thinks he can beat everybody, basically issuing an open challenge without sort of saying it. I also love the whole him saying, well, Canada is better than the U.S., even though he is the King of America or whatever his thing is that he says. But Baron Corbin is the one that comes out to answer the challenge, so it was a bit weird, a heel answering a heel's challenge. Baron Corbin basically says, you might be able to beat up a lot of people, but not me. And then, of course, we find out that another expected SmackDown guy, Sami Zayn, returns. Kevin Owens' reaction is wonderful. He acts like he's seen a ghost. And then just generally can't believe it. And then AJ Styles also comes out to even the heel and face playing field. They kind of have a little banter back and forth. The crowd was letting AJ know that they love the guy. And Daniel Bryan comes out to let us know that apparently whoever wins between Kevin Owens and Chris Jericho, Kevin Owens is winning, guys. That they will be the one that actually joins SmackDown officially, because that U.S. title match is still happening on Payback, and apparently Kevin Owens will not defend his title at all before Payback, so that's something interesting as well. But this sets up a number one contenders match between AJ Styles, Baron Corbin, and Sami Zayn for the main event. It went about almost 17 minutes. It was pretty good. And AJ Styles is the number one contender. Oh, wait. Yeah, the number one contender for the U.S. Championship. So we're going with AJ and Kevin Owens right off the bat. Pretty awesome, I would say.
Can't say I'm disappointed myself. I think it's a pretty awesome matchup. At least it's not, you know, repeating what we've seen in the past with Owens and, you know, his best little buddy that he likes to feud with, right? So at least, you know, with both of them on this show, it's not that feud. At least we are getting something fresh. It is AJ Styles and Kevin Owens. I'm very happy about that. I'm kind of curious, too, are they going to keep this clean look of Kevin Owens? I don't know. I think maybe they just kind of did it to kind of throw you off a little bit. Maybe not. Maybe they are going to keep him looking a little cleaner. But I don't know. I kind of would rather him not look so clean. Well,
how do you feel about AJ Styles now joining the ranks of Kevin Owens, of being a main event guy that took the step down, but now it still makes the U.S. title feel like a big deal because you got two main eventers fighting over it?
Go ahead, Gary.
So, I'm sorry, I thought that was directed to Paul. So you're saying basically what...
I mean, so do you feel like it's bad that AJ took a step down, or do you like that we're sort of making the U.S. title feel like a big deal?
You know what? It's... I guess I look at it more as the guy he's facing than the U.S. title. But if they have a different direction with the WWE Championship, I'm okay with it. It does feel weird in a way, because I did have that thought come to my mind about why is he stepping down. But maybe they're doing this to really have some kind of, you know, spark going on with this whole division. I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing. Do I like it? No, because I love AJ Styles in that WWE Championship picture. I don't want it to be a short time frame the next time he holds the title. I want him to hold it for a long period of time. So I'm happy with the Owens AJ thing personally.
First things first, I really enjoyed the opening segment a lot. I thought the crowd was super hot, especially once they just kept bringing out name after name, and the crowd just kept getting hotter and hotter, and it built up to a real nice announcement. I'm okay with how they're going about doing this, right? They still have business to take care of over on the Raw side of things with Kevin Owens and Chris Jericho and all that fun stuff. The main event, great match. Sami Zayn, Baron Corbin, AJ Styles. Baron, we've seen him in this type of situation before. He works great in them. Continues to just sort of knock at the door. And this is sort of where I have a small problem with this, because AJ and Kevin Owens, don't get me wrong, great match. Really looking forward to seeing what they can do and everything like that. But we're trying to build up talent in the mid-card. You have a lot of guys in there like Baron Corbin, like Ty Dillinger, who we'll talk about some more. Lots of guys who I think could really benefit from just being involved in a revolving door of U.S. title challengers. And it's sort of being used right now to keep the top stars busy while Randy and Bray finish up their business. So hopefully this gets a lot clearer once we get post Payback, because that seems to be the next hurdle before we can actually start focusing on all the new possible matchups and stories we can start telling post Superstar Shakeup.
Yeah, because, I mean, it looks like, obviously, Randy Orton is going to win the House of Horrors match. So, you know, that leaves that door open of, well, you could do Randy and AJ, or you could do Kevin Owens and AJ. Or Kevin Owens and Randy Orton. So, that sort of leaves your U.S. title match that you're going to have, which I would assume they're not going to push all the way to Extreme Rules, I'd imagine that they may do it on SmackDown, or, well, I guess what, it's 2 weeks after Payback? I don't even know what the timeline is for these things anymore. Some months they have 2 week periods, some months it's like a month, so. But yeah, I mean, I like it because you have that intrigue of, well, Randy Orton could go against either one, so let's see what direction they want to go in. Because, you know, think about if AJ has the U.S. title and just has these great matches with everybody, sort of like, you know, the way Cena did without having to do an open challenge, how great that helps that entire mid-card, you know. I mean, yeah, do we want to see AJ with the main title again? Sure. And he sort of does still have some kind of thing with Randy Orton, but I wouldn't have a problem at all if you want to do the traditional face heel, really push Randy Orton into that sort of stratosphere, and have AJ helping out all the mid card guys, you know.
Yeah, yeah, AJ is such a great talent. I mean, it's not a bad thing to do that. I mean, once again, I think all of us here really want to see him go for the WWE Championship. But, you know, once again, like I said, if it's not for a long period of time for him to hold the title, I'm cool with totally him doing something else. I don't know. Do you guys, is this more clean look for Kevin Owens going to stick around? I'm just kind of curious what you guys have to say about that. Or was that kind of a one-night thing?
I felt like they did the suit and clean cut look just to sort of make it like this feels like a big moment for him. He's treating it like a big deal. You know, he's here to dominate a new show, and this is how he wants to sort of show it off.
Okay, fair enough. I'm just worried that it could be a long-term thing. I'm like, oh, no, don't let this. I don't want him to kind of have that kind of gimmick. I want him to be just the Kevin Owens we've known.
So, I mean, it might take him a while to grow that beard back out, but.
No, he just needs to really push really hard like I do. Go, and it all just comes out. I'll have to teach him that trick.
Well, I don't know. If he has different, I mean, it takes me about a week to grow one of those things out, so. It just depends on him and his genetics, I guess, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, with Kevin Owens, I could definitely see him doing the growly face in the mirror, though. And, you know, with his kids there, just take the picture.
Yeah.
Grow, beard, grow!
Oh, man. Be beautiful.
And then, you know, the kids, like, twirl it or whatever. But, that's the thing that, you know, that's the next picture Kevin Owens needs to take on his Twitter of what I do with my family all the time.
Yeah.
Which, if for some reason you live under a rock and have not seen his Twitter, you really should. It's between the stuff with his kids and then him just totally... being an ass on Twitter, it's great. It's great. So between this opening and main event segment, you had another little bit of smaller segments, really. Nothing that you really need to go out of your way to watch as far as matches go. So definitely, if you're one of these people that like, oh, well, I really don't want to sit there for 2 hours, I think we can run through some of this rather quickly, but, you know, if you want to go longer on it, we can. Randy Orton basically beat Eric Rowan pretty handily. Then Bray comes out and sort of messes with Randy getting on the Titantron. And then Eric Rowan kind of is going to go out there and then get a weapon, and he hits Orton with the steel steps and causes the DQ. So I guess good that you don't have Rowan get pinned or whatever if you're trying to protect him. But I think the bigger picture is they're trying to show that Bray still has powers even though he's not on that show technically. So that's cool, I guess. Small way to just keep the thing going.
Yeah, that's all this is. It's just a way to keep it going. You're exactly right. And hey, it's nice that Eric Rowan at least he gets to look halfway decent. He didn't look to Randy Orton, but who, you know, who really is. So I can't hold that against him, but at least he gets to stand tall by, you know, using a weapon. I'm okay with this. This is nothing super special, though.
Yeah, I mean, this is a simple build towards where we're going for payback. And, you know, whether Eric ever gets to go out on his lonesome or whatnot, I think is something else we're going to have to wait to see until after after payback, unfortunately. So I just feel like we're in for maybe some boring weeks of WWE television as they try to tease all the stuff out.
Yeah. I mean, we've seen this before with Eric Rowan and the comedy bits they try to do with him or whatever. Look, maybe with SmackDown and having a different sort of creative team, they can think of something, but I don't know. Eric Rowan's just not one of those guys that I'm sitting there going, well, I can't wait till he has a singles run, because I just don't know that it's going to be anything.
Right.
So we also have they sent Curt Hawkins over to Raw, so they needed another jobber to fill his spot, and Jinder Mahal is now on SmackDown, where he can be hindered on the Blue Brand. And, well, we're not done with this thing between Jinder and Gronk, because he shows up on this show being in Boston, of all places, of course, and he throws a beer into Jinder's face, because, hey, if Jinder wants to be jawjacking with him, why not? And this allows Mojo to get the big forearm and get the win. I thought this was fun. I mean, I'll give Jinder credit. The dude actually is sort of interesting in his matches, and he apparently has one hell of an elbow because he gave Finn Balor a concussion on Raw.
Man, poor Finn. He just can't get past getting injured. And it's not his fault. It's sadly, you know, they're putting him in the ring with guys who can be careless at times. So, yeah. Anyway, talking about SmackDown.
Well, it's an accident. I don't think people are just going around trying to give you a concussion, you know.
No, it's just that it just happens to be, I guess, a freak accident, but it just happens to be Finn. Those freak accidents are happening too, you know. So, but, you know, talking about this is fine. It's cute. It's fun. I didn't get super, you know, excited about it. I didn't get a lot out of it because we've kind of seen this, you know. We saw it at WrestleMania, kind of get a little bit more. It's nice for the hometown. That's about it. I mean, good for Mojo. I mean, they seem to like him, so I'm happy for the guy. Outside of that, it's, you know, it is what it is, right?
It is what it is. I mean, at least this made sense, right? Jinder has a reason to be in this match. Mojo deals with him pretty quickly, so we don't have to watch Jinder Mahal versus Mojo Rawley for more than 3 minutes, thank God. But, I think stuff like this with Mojo is fine. Like, his energy is infectious. He always seems to get some sort of reaction from the crowd. I mean, I think they could do something with him at some point. I don't know how far he's going to be able to make it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you wonder when that cutoff is, right? What that next goal is.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, I'm fine with this. They were in Boston. Let's have an end cap to this thing that started at WrestleMania. Let's see what his first sort of, I mean, he kind of sort of had a program with Dolph, but I guess let's see what his first program that after we've sort of, we're trying to make Mojo into something, where he goes from here, which, you know, it may be a little bit. So he may be in this little pattern that another guy, is in, Ty Dillinger, where it seems like Ty is just going to have these matches where he just beats people and gets pops from the crowd and they get to chant 10, and that seems like fun. As much as anything, it's probably going to wear out its welcome after a while, but it allows them to kind of figure out the shuffle of things, what they want to do in that mid-card and everything. But we did get Aiden Inglis going back to his singing roots that we saw in NXT. How did you like the singing man back?
What do you think, Paul?
I loved this personally. I loved the gimmick in NXT. I think they did enough here before Ty came out to at least intrigue you with the idea that maybe this is going to be something that other people are going to want to at least get in on. Cause it's a fun gimmick. I really enjoyed the time he had with it in NXT. And I mean, at least 10 is catching on at least fairly quickly with people. That's another good thing. Like I said, we're hurting ourselves by not having a mid-card championship and having these guys at least continually be in the hunt for them. And to be fair, whoever does beat Kevin Owens, it's going to look pretty good out of this. So, they're still bid-bound and determined, I think, to do AJ and Randy Orton at some point.
Yeah, I could see that totally. You know, I think that this is good for Ty Dillinger for sure because, you know, once again, you know, the casuals don't really know this guy. And at least, you know, the more he wins, the more they can get behind him. The more they get behind the whole 10 gimmick and all that. So that's great for him. And, you know, Aiden English, I've really missed this whole scene thing with him because it's kind of cool. It's kind of, you know, it's different for sure. And it gives people a reason to kind of hate the guy. You know, it's kind of fun. So, overall, I think this is, you know, something I'm really looking forward to seeing how well it carries over into the future. Because I think he can really get into it just like he did in NXT.
Oh, yeah. Let's give him some weeks to develop this more and see where he can take it. I really enjoyed it in NXT. But, again, that's also, we have to remember, part of the gimmick that made it good was the NXT crowd reacting to it, right?
Mm-hmm.
They were really into it, and they liked it. But you could always kind of see that writing on the wall of, okay, on the main roster, are people going to think this is stupid? And they don't react to it. So I almost kind of felt like the crowd was sort of in this, oh, this is funny. Let's laugh at this. It's silly kind of thing. So, you know. I think it all depends on how people take it and where it goes, right? If he gets more serious with it, then that's great. I did like that he also acknowledged that I'm here by myself. Don't expect someone else to come out here. So, you know, letting you know right off the bat that he is on his lonesome and this is what he is going to be. So, two guys that are not by themselves as they are challenging for the tag team titles. American Alpha, this now resets the tag division here with the Usos retaining, and this also sets up a possible tag title feud, I guess, if this one's over with the incoming New Day, who were announced in a vignette. I'm guessing that they didn't want to have Big E and Xavier come out there since we just saw him on Raw, so thought that was kind of smart. But this match was about 9 minutes, and it was a lot. You know, these two are just so good. You know that they're not going to have a bad match at all. Alpha gets close to winning, but you get the blind tag, and the Usos clear it up and retain their titles.
Yeah, I think it worked out the way, you know, best in this instance because I think the Usos holding the titles right now at this moment is probably the most positive thing. I love American Alpha. You know, they do a fine job. But I think right now the change up and having the Usos hold onto the belts is a good idea. American Alpha is going to prove themselves week in and week out, so I have no worries about that. And they did it in this match, too. I enjoyed the match. I really did. You know, you just weren't sure who was going to win, and that's always a good thing. So, but I'm happy for the Usos. They still get to hold those titles.
And they also, you had American Alpha get attacked by Primo and Epico, which I think I said about a zillion times on Raw that they were going to be SmackDown bound. That crowd, it took them a bit, but they got into the match, but there was no pop at all from Reckonalpha coming out. So that really shows you the difference between how beloved they were on NXT and how crazy it's been for them on the main roster of how they've sort of been mishandled, really.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I think they kind of have been mishandled. And, you know, simply put, they haven't given people the opportunity to really get comfortable with these guys, to really understand their personalities. And they did a little bit work with them. Don't get me wrong. It's not like they've completely ignored American Alpha. I just don't know that they've gone about it the right way. I wish American Alpha would have been afforded more opportunities to get on the mic, showcase who they are, heck, even joke around or do something that really gets people behind them.
They did that at NXT. That was the point. Like,
yeah.
And that's the thing sometimes when you have such a wrestling mind and Daniel Bryan, and I know Triple H is sort of, I guess, involved in SmackDown more, but I think people forget that the main roster crowds are different. They don't, unless you're Braun and you're just kicking everybody's ass and you're kicking the right guy's ass, right, in Roman Reigns, they want to see your personality more than they want to see you just go out there and have a great match, because everybody has great matches now.
Mm-hmm.
So that's sort of a given. If you have American Alpha or you have Gable and Jordan doing their shtick where they would joke around and do the Redding, Willing, and Gable thing, while also showing that, look, these guys kick butt, they'd be much more over than, hey, we took out a bunch of tag teams that no one gives a crap about, oh, and then the Usos beat us.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I mean, I think having problems again. The big thing here with American Alpha is that in NXT, you literally got to watch them grow from being two singles guys to being a tag team, and then watch them rise all the way up to winning the titles. And you got to see them every week do these segments or promos, and they haven't done any of that on SmackDown, right? We've gotten very little interaction from them other than just watching them work. And don't get me wrong, they're terrific wrestlers. Even if you watch them on SmackDown, they've had really good matches. It's just there's not a lot of connection there with the crowd, and I don't know if you think it's going to be what you let them sort of establish themselves, but it certainly could be worse. And it looks like they're going to repackage Primo and Epco out of all this too. So maybe the W2M Puerto Rico hashtag will die. But
yeah, well, that's
a
sad.
Might have a career.
Yeah, I mean, that's a sad thing. But you're right. At least maybe they can have a new start here, and that to me could mean a lot more for those guys.
Yeah, now you got two brother tag teams on the same show. So, well, I guess it's brother and cousin for the Primo and Epico. But you know, I think this is good for Primo and Epico. Get something going. We have seen that SmackDown sort of, even though there's times where we don't see the Breezango or the Ascension at all, as has been the case, they at least sort of try to take care of the guys that you don't care about, and they know you don't care about them, so at least they're starting Primo and Epico off on a different way then. And again, like having these heel tag teams going against American Alpha is not a bad thing. You just gotta. I think this is part of the problem, right? Of watching NXT and then watching the main roster. And, like, it seems like they don't enjoy repeating things from NXT. Vince is so hell-bent on it's either one of these two things. It's like, okay, well, they're adults now, so you can't go backwards and have them be kids again. You have to take that character the way it is from NXT, and you can't try to get people to relive what happened on NXT. You have to understand that people saw that story. you can't try to redo it again. So, like, you can't have the American Alpha go backwards and sort of do this thing where they're adjusting to being a team, and Jordan's kind of not wanting to be Gable's tag partner, and that's how the Ready, Willing, and Gable thing started. Or you can't have Bayley go backwards and all of a sudden not be this kick-ass, like, wrestler that understands herself. She's got to be this baby that's fangirling everywhere, and oh yeah, she also wrestles. So that kind of hurts them in a way, in that, like Paul mentioned, we see their journey, but you don't get to see that journey on the main roster. You kind of have to just, okay, well, now they're on the main roster, now we have to get them into a feud that makes you care about them instead of the story making you care about them, or they have to figure out a different story for them, and it's a little bit hard.
Right.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's your tag division. I mean, we talked about it, but New Day coming over refreshes them a bit. We're not going to have Kofi for a while, so do you think they'll do the tag team thing with them, and then something happens where maybe they just lose, and all of a sudden we just see Big E start having singles matches? Or what do you think is their sort of best way to go about this? Because I feel like that's what you got to do right now, is kind of take them in a role of, all right, they're still here, but let's try to take advantage of the fact that we don't have the whole team together.
I'm glad that, you know, New Day is going to be a part of SmackDown to an extent. And we talked about this, you know, we were kind of trying to predict it. But, you know, like everybody else is, they're trying to get a new start, probably, you know, and do some different things than they've done in the past. And I think this is a good opportunity for that. And like we've talked about, you know, Big E, if he wants to go and do his singles action a little bit here and there and take some time away from the tag team world, that's good too. Or just have them tag, you know, like usual. I think either way it works, but I think, you know, New Day being a part of SmackDown gives them a little bit of a breath of fresh air, because I think we've seen almost anything we can see from them on Raw. So,
well,
like, I'm interested to see what they do with the New Day over here on SmackDown. I'll say that. I mean, we've seen them and the Usos have feuds before. They would seem like the next logical step for them to go with, if we're going to have to watch American Alpha and Primo and Epico try to make each other in a feud. But, I mean, it's not the worst option they could have gone with. I still would have preferred Enzo and Cass, I think.
Yeah, I would agree with you. It would have been cool to see Enzo and Cass, but I feel like Vince has big things for Cass, and I guess they wanted to keep him over there. So
Vince is like, ah, I got to see my Kaz. I have to see him every day. Oh, man. Nope, not let him go. Oh, Kaz, I dropped a pencil. Can you go pick that up for me?
God, where are we going with this? This is terrible.
I'm kidding. It's a joke.
Wow, I don't know where to go from that. So, Shane McMahon promised coming out here to address the SmackDown Women's Division. So, you get a little entrance from everybody. Naomi, Natalya, Carmella, and Becky Lynch. As, you know, we saw Mickie James and Alexa Bliss go over to Raw. And then James Ellsworth comes in and then says that, no, Naomi is a terrible champion. And that they come to see Carmella's worth and the queen of Staten Island, Carmella. And you know what? Look, I'm cool with the you want to use some street or whatever, but like Naomi's sort of not been like that. I don't think we need to be pulling the, oh, if you don't get your side chick like in check, you know, I'm gonna do something. It's like, It just seemed kind of forced and awkward to me, but pretty much this Shane builds up this whole thing to make you think that it's Charlotte, but it winds up being Tamina who's returning. So you get Tamina, who's not part of any either roster, so she's now on SmackDown, and then he does reveal Charlotte, which the crowd was happy to see, and so you get Charlotte and Becky being reunited here. They're kind of always fun to watch on Twitter, honestly. They do some fun stuff on that, but no Sasha, as had been rumored earlier in the day, especially with the show being in Boston. How do you like Tamina and Charlotte? We pretty much knew Charlotte was coming, no doubt, but Tamina the surprise.
Yeah, I think it was a good way to surprise people because, I mean, honestly, no one saw that coming, right? And, you know, playing the whole trick of, oh, you know, her father was a Hall of Famer, all that kind of stuff, and you just knew it was Charlotte. And for it to be Tamina, it was kind of a fun swerve. I thought they did a good job with that. But I think both of them added to the show is good. You know, I don't know what you're going to get out of Tamina. I really don't. I mean, let's be honest. If you want to say this is an example of how either WWE dropped the ball or how a superstar really just does not always work with a company, I think Tamina is a perfect example for that. So you got really one good one, and then one you're just not sure of how that's going to happen or what's going to happen with her.
We all know.
Paul's still cutting out quite a bit here.
Yeah. Damn. Audio issues galore for us in the past 2 days.
Yeah. I don't know what's going on with the microphone issues tonight, but I mean, once again, I mean, I think this is, you know, Charlotte's a great addition. I don't know, Sean. I don't know how you feel about.
I mean, look, Charlotte adds a legit person to that roster, very much like, you know, they tried to do with Mickie James, but I think at this point Charlotte is seen as way more legit than Mickie James. Mm-hmm. And it's somebody that you can, obviously she's a great heel, we know that. If they want to put her as a face, she can do that too. She's not nearly as convincing that way, but we have seen her be such, she's loved for being the athlete that she is, and I think that can help her in that way to be accepted as a face if they want to do that. So I really like her being there. Tamina's, that's, let's see. I mean, we've seen the reboot of Tamina like 20 times, it feels like. Let's see what they try to do, if they try to, I hope they, I just, it's so weird because it's like, if you're gonna try to sort of do Nia Jax with Tamina, we've seen it, and I don't think that the crowd never really reacted that well to it. I mean, you're never really given a reason to care about Tamina, I think, too. That's another problem. But yeah, we'll see what they try to do here with her. Because also, even though WWE wants you to have sympathy for Jimmy Snuka, and now he's passed on, so perhaps, you know, people, those feelings about what really happened and all that kind of stuff may not surface, so you might get sympathy for her in that way, but they're going to have to figure out a way for her to be her own person and not be Tamina Snuka and try to, oh, this is Jimmy Snuka's daughter and all this and whatever. Like, that was the whole thing that was great about Charlotte. She took stuff from her dad, but she became her own person. Tamina needs to do that, too.
Mm-hmm.
Tamina, I think she, like, there's something. If they can bring her, like, a badass striker or something like that, I think she, well.
Man, I'm sorry. I don't know. We're still having problems hearing you, Paul. Now we're hearing crackling, but we still can't hear you, buddy. I don't know what's going on here.
Yeah.
We'll hopefully catch up. Yeah, hopefully he can adjust it somehow. We'll see.
Yeah, I really hope so, too, because this hate to, like, leave this bad taste in people's mouths for 2 days in a row, but at least 205 sounded great. So
yeah.
If we had Mike's Paul's mic working for 205, if you haven't listened to it yet, I wasn't on it because I had a long day at work. I fell asleep. I had to go back and watch SmackDown for us to be able to do this. So Paul and Gary took care of 205. They did a great job and 22-minute show, so not that hard for you guys to listen. And you can check out about what's been happening. You get more on the TJ Perkins heel turn and everything. So. You know, if you're interested in that, go listen to them. I don't know what's happened in the 30 minutes between, you know, you guys doing that show and then for us to start the prep for the other two shows. This is weird.
Yeah, very odd.
But, I mean, I remember he was having problems with the microphone, like, last week, too. So,
yeah.
Maybe, you know, who knows? It's so weird. Sometimes technology is just it's such a finicky thing.
Yeah.
But I think the only thing we haven't talked about is something that surprised me, even though, yeah, we're in Boston, and Boston's in the Northeast or whatever, but you have Dolph come out, and if you remember, we talked about last week that Dolph had they had the house show main event after the show kind of thing between Dolph and Nakamura. And so Dolph came out, and he talked about, well, 205 Live, or not 205, I got that on the brain. He talked about, well, the Superstar Shakeup, I'm staying here on SmackDown. Everybody's wondering what's going to be happening to Dolph, as if, you know, anybody cared. And then it's like, all right, you know, whatever, Dolph, right? And Dolph keeps talking, and the lights go out, and Nakamura's theme hits. The crowd goes absolutely nuts, and he comes out, different jacket, you know, and the crowd will not stop chanting Nakamura's name. And Dolph's like, "Can I help you?" And they start chanting again. Dolph is visibly upset by this. Nakamura actually gets to be on the microphone. And he says, "Oh, you want to know who I am? I am Shinsuke Nakamura." And the crowd gets happy about this. No match. Sort of a threatening gesture by Nakamura of acting like he's going to go do the Kinshasa after he blocks Dolph's superkick. And he tells him, "Hey, if you want some, come get some." And then you get the you don't get a big response to the yow while the music's playing, but Nakamura, huge still in week two.
Yeah, and you know what's really cool about this, Sean, and I have to say this crowd was a lot better. I will say this than Raw. The crowd in New Jersey was not really all that pumped.
I think it's Long Island.
Long Island. I'm sorry. Thank you. Long Island.
God, I don't want those Jersey folks.
No. You know, they are great. Pissed. I the wrong place. But yes, Long Island. Let's piss off them. They just weren't really into it for some reason. But this crowd here tonight was much more into it. And I love the fact that they were chanting along and singing the song that, you know, Nakamura's theme. So it felt really good, and it was a good reaction for him. Dolph Ziggler, you know, he's the one guy that gets lost in the shuffle quite a bit. Honestly, he's very forgettable right now. Like, when you talk about, you know, the mid-card, he's not really the first guy that pops in your mind sometimes because he's kind of on the background, on the back burner. And I'm happy that they're kind of putting him with Nakamura because I think he's a great wrestler. He's someone you can trust with Shinsuke, and I think these guys will have a good feud. I really do, and so that's what's cool about it. I like the interaction here. I think that they, you know, played it off pretty well. So I was happy for seeing this. I really was. It was nice to see, and just love the crowd reaction to Shinsuke Nakamura, though.
Yeah, and I do miss what you could have had with Miz, right? Mm-hmm. So that kind of sucks. And we know that Dolph is in that territory of people kind of don't care about him. And I like him as a heel. I think it can work. It's just, you know, let's see, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I like this. I know we're going to have good matches, or at least, you know, good match. I don't think you're going to have great matches between the two, but it's a good starter feud for Nakamura while they get everything else kind of shuffled around, and at least you're not putting him right in with AJ, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it really is. And, you know, a lot of people would say, well, you know, man, he's such a good wrestler. Let's do this right now. But no, you've got to let some things grow, right? And you're exactly right, Sean. A good starter match is Dolph Ziggler. And it's still something exciting, and I think something everybody can get behind. So I think they're going the right direction for both these guys, because I think even Shinsuke elevates Dolph Ziggler, right? We're not having Dolph Ziggler face Aiden English, right? Because, you know, right now you just don't care about that, and it doesn't work. It doesn't make sense. I mean, you know, I don't know. I just think that they're doing the right thing with both these guys.
I agree. Glad to see that the crowd is really digging Shinsuke still. Again, we got to see making the country tour, how this goes. You know, still in the Northeast, still in sort of areas where they're going to know him. When you get to other areas, let's see how they react to him, and if he's wrestled by then, that's obviously important. I definitely think you need to make sure you don't have Shinsuke wrestling, at least for right now. Like, if they want to build this up to a big SmackDown, since you got to wait a while to get to Extreme Rules, if you want to build this up to a big SmackDown of Shinsuke wrestling, I'm fine with that. But if they don't have him wrestle to Extreme Rules, I'm fine with that also, because that's... I don't think that you need to have Shinsuke just wrestling jobbers, because you want to... He is special. You need to make him feel special, and they've done that so far. Let's keep doing it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm right there with you.
I mean, he's not the... he's not Brock, where he doesn't show up. Just, okay, you're going to have to pay to see me wrestle. You're going to have to wait. And that's good. That's it for SmackDown. We covered everything. We covered the moves. Pretty much everybody that we thought was coming over. It was kind of obvious. You got Sin Cara coming. Whatever, right? I'm sorry, I just haven't done anything with Sin Cara at all, so it's like, who cares?
Yeah.
And... Rusev and Lana coming, which I think Paul mentioned that he thought Rusev might come. They split Rusev and Lana's announcements, though. Lana was dancing and being very provocative, and they announced her separately from Rusev, so that's sort of interesting.
Yeah, so you get to see her wrestle. That's something we haven't seen a whole lot of. We've seen a little bit, but not a lot of, and I think that's where they're going with that. That probably will still happen with Rusev, but I think that they're kind of hinting that you're going to see a lot more wrestling with her.
Yeah, I mean, that's good. That's good. She's been training in NXT for a while. She's run the house show circuit down there. Why not? Let her do her... We've seen her with Rusev. We know they're married. Like, at some point... Yeah, you gotta adapt. And I mean, I would hope that Maryse eventually decides she wants to go do her own thing too. It's especially because we know that she's a good wrestler. But if she feels like her days of wrestling are over and she doesn't want to do that, then that's fine. But I'm glad to see Lana coming in from an acting field, not being a wrestler at all, accepting that and doing the opposite of Eva Marie and actually going out there and really wanting to do it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I'm right there, too, because I think it means a lot, and I think it shows also the company that, hey, you know, this is something that's important. So that means that they want to get behind her as well.
Yep. So what do you think for a rating for SmackDown?
You know, there were some decent matches, and there's the main event was the best. I mean, it was exciting. It had a lot to it, which it should. I mean, it's the main event. The rest of this was okay. I don't think it was anything overly great. I didn't find myself just saying, man, that was one of the better SmackDowns. So I'm going to kind of rate it like Raw. I think they kind of were a little equal on that. I'm going to go with 6. I don't think they did any better than Raw.
Yeah, I think also, so you know, some of the moves kind of came off as lesser than Raw, which, look, this is how it's always going to be in Vince's mind. Raw is the bigger show. But SmackDown already had a couple of people that people really enjoyed seeing when they debuted. They announced a few people that are either injured or we saw on the previous show, so they didn't want to waste your time seeing them again. And this felt more like an actual SmackDown instead of trying to make it all about the Superstar Shakeup, right? This felt like a Superstar Shakeup was built around the show, and I appreciated that. You had your main event that was built around some guys that came over, but you still had your tag team title match. You know, they built the women's division around who came over because obviously you lost some big people, so they had to. But then you capitalized on your two debutantes, you know, and Ty Dillinger and Shinsuke, and you know, Randy Orton still did his thing as a champion, which, you know, you didn't get with no Brock on that show. And I mean, everything was hit on for SmackDown, so I give him a 6.5 the same. Nothing totally spectacular. I definitely think it's worth watching the main event, and Alphas and Usos is short enough that you can enjoy it. But let's see what goes on. Now you know what the two rosters are, and that's going to be our topic on the WTM Part 1, Episode 242, is we're going to sort of analyze the shakeup and who got the better end of it, and you know, all that. So you make sure you really want to listen. Of course, we'll talk about Shibata's injury and talk about some New Japan. Damn it, why am I forgetting the name of that show right now? Sakura Genesis and all that. So hopefully Paul's microphone works much better than it has on the SmackDown. So again, apologize for the audio issues. Thank you to Anthony Holland again for letting us know about what happened on Raw so we can make sure we fixed it. And then, sadly, we had more technical issues. But, hey, look, this happens. You can't – technology is what it is. And hopefully you still listened and enjoyed the show. You can go subscribe, Wrestling to the Max, or WTM Network if you want to listen to our other shows that are not W2M related, but there's still great content there. Other wrestling shows, Running Wild Podcast, Wrestling Unwrapped, our friends over there, and a whole bunch of sports and some great entertainment shows, that, you know, movie reviews and metal music reviews and all this kind of stuff. So you definitely, I think, you want to make sure you subscribe. And of course, WTMNet.com, where you can go listen to these podcasts on there. You can go read game reviews. You can get some other written content in there too. Can't always really tell you because it kind of varies by the week, but definitely worth checking out, of course. And be for sure, go like our WTMNet.com page on Facebook. The more likes we get, the more exposition we have to the greater world of Facebook. And then, you know, you can invite your friends to go like it as well, so it helps us. So that every time we post something on there, you get more people looking at it, and they, you know, can go enjoy the articles that you do. So until we see you next week for SmackDown, see you later, everybody.
Bye.
The following podcast is a W2M Network original production. Visit W2Mnet.com for all of our other great podcasts, plus news, reviews, articles, and opinions from the worlds of wrestling, video games, football, and entertainment.